Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Tune in. Grow in faith.
Very good afternoon to you and welcome to the second hour of the show. It is 9 minutes after 5 o'clock. And I must say, guys, even before we get to Indaba Zethu, our news, Hlengiwe Mahlangu and I, who is our guest for today, are already on it about a lot of things. Look, when I meet somebody like me, chances of us going on air, I knew if I don't go now, we're never going to do it. Hlengiwe, beautiful lady, guys, I must say, welcome home.
Thank you very much, Luko. Thank you for the warm welcome. Good afternoon. Is it evening?
It's afternoon. Still afternoon.
So good afternoon to you and to all the Radio Pulpit listeners and everyone who has tuned in at this moment. Good afternoon.
Oh, man. I think, Masia, I must make you blush there. You're so well-spoken. No wonder you are actually a lawyer. if you tell somebody I'm a lawyer, it's like, oh, yeah.
I am blushing. You can be right. Thank you very much.
So welcome. I'm saying welcome home because I always say for all authors, I want you to know that this is home. You can always come back and chat with me any day, every day, because I love having these type of conversations because I am at a place and in a point where I really advocate for reading, not just for children. You know, sometimes we think I'm in a young person, you know, I didn't do it when I was much younger. It's a little bit too late, but it's never too late. You can literally just grab that book and start reading. And so, yes, guys, Hlengiwe Mahlangu is our guest for today, and she's the author of Against All Odds, A Township Girl, The Law and the Faith That Sustained Her. Nothing, I'm sorry, guys, no offense, but nothing says gassy. I wouldn't have thought as a township girl, I'm like, okay, maybe Mpumalanga gassy is a bit different to the ones I know.
You would be shocked if I tell you the gassy that I am from.
Let's get to that. Well, guys, we're getting to know her now. Where are you from? Where is your gassy? Tell us about Hlengiwe. Who is Hlengiwe Mahlangu?
Okay, so Hlengiwe Mahlangu, let me start with the accolades. Hlengiwe Mahlangu is the founder and the director of H. Mahlangu & Co. Attorneys, the author of her book, which is Against All Odds, that we'll be sharing today. But beyond my legal work and being an author, I am from Daveyton,
Emma Pupin. Oh, East Rand.
Yes, East Rand girl.
Daveyton.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I reverse my words then. Okay. Okay, cool.
So Hlengiwe is a firstborn daughter in her family. I'm the oldest. First generation to go to university or get an education.
You're the first graduate.
Yes. First graduate in my family.
Wow.
I am a mother of two, a son and a beautiful daughter. I have four siblings
three siblings.
You're the fourth one. Yes. I think that's Hlengiwe overall.
Welcome.
I love God. I am raised in a Christian family. So my grandmother would force us to go to Sunday school every Sunday. There's no way that you can escape that.
Yeah.
So Hlengiwe has been raised on the foundation of God. And yeah, that's what kept me going. And
I love it when you say foundation of God. I always say those that have been given the foundation, no matter how they can like leave the root. I always say a cousin of mine went to Christian school. He's not born again right now. But the way that guy's conscience lives. And I will be doing something and he'll always be like, God, you can't believe me. I went to Felidon Christian School. You guys must remember, I feel like his spiritual internals, and they're just so awakened. And I will not do anything that's against the word of God, but he will not go extreme. You know, he's one of those who always stops himself. So that foundation really does matter, Hlengiwe.
No, it takes you very far. Yeah. I don't think I would have survived or would have been able to keep going and keep moving had it not been for that foundation. That foundation was the reassurance that I had in everything and every situation that I encountered. That foundation was the one that said, remember your God's promise. Remember the conversations you've had with God.
True.
Trust him to move you and take you through the situation or whatever difficulty that I would be experiencing at the time. So that foundation is important because when life hits you, you need to remember and be grounded in your faith and remember where you come from and who you are and what God says about you.
Sure, and is it possible to impart that on your little ones as you go?
I've done that. I've done that. We have a 7 o'clock prayer at home with my little ones and my mother. I know my son is like, I need the homework. I'm doing homework, mommy. So I'm busy with homework. I'm like, no, it's prayer time. Come, go homework. God will help you with the homework. Come, let's pray. So I'm doing my best to also impart those principles on my young ones so that they have that strength and understanding of who they are and how they navigate this life.
Absolutely love it. But the amazing thing is you're from Deverton, but we're in Mpumalanga right now, right? You live in Mpumalanga. How did you end up there? How did you end up there, really?
It's actually not Mpumalanga.
Is it not part of Mpumalanga?
No, it's almost KZN side or just before.
Are you serious?
If I'm correct. It's Heidelberg. On the M3.
Yes.
That side.
As you head towards, what's that famous filling station in KZN? As you go to
Montrose.
Montrose. As you head to Montrose.
It's on that route.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's far. You're coming from far.
Yes.
Just to honor this chat.
You don't understand the frustration I had on the road. Like, God, please let me make it on time. There was traffic. There's just a lot happening. But I'm glad that I made it.
Yeah.
And I believe that it is for a reason that I actually made it and I made it on time.
You made it on time, actually. Now, let's get into your life story first, because I wanted to get to this book, because it's difficult to separate this book from your story, your testimony, because this book, in essence, is actually your testimony. You know, I got to get snippets of it, guys, but I wanted to really bring a heart of four on this. You are a lawyer, you said. When did you start practicing?
I started practicing post-admission in 2014.
Okay, okay.
So I've been practicing as an admitted attorney since then.
Had things always been smooth until then?
I wish they were. I wish they were.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to go into it without detailing
the
book.
Go ahead.
From my upbringing, you know, my background, if you look at my pedigree, it already tells you a story of challenges on its own. How I grew up, the struggles that we had when I was growing up, the financial pressures that my family experienced, and me trying to break free from that genealogy or lineage of, I can say, you know, poverty and struggle.
Yeah.
So it wasn't smooth from the very beginning.
It
was very rough.
I don't want to take away from this chat. I think let's just get right into it.
Okay.
Now, you've authored, is this your very first book?
This is my very first book.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes. And let me think. Are you planning to release more? And number two, why a book? Why decide to tell your story in a book?
So, in as much as you say I'm well-spoken and articulate, I'm actually very shy and
You are?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I hope you see it.
Sorry. I'm not going to lie.
It's not there.
It's not there.
Okay. No. And I tend to deal with things alone. I carry a lot.
Internalize.
Yes. And I struggle with speaking about my life, speaking about my feelings, or reaching out to people when I'm going through struggles. I love writing. I journal a lot. I've tried to do blogs to articulate my emotions and feelings. So I've always loved writing.
Oh.
And I just thought the best way that I can capture everything that I want to capture and to get to, you know, bring hope to people and tell them about me and who I am and the struggles, but also reassure them that they will make it through their struggles is through a book, writing it down. That's the only way I know how to do it.
I'm going to come to your defense, though, there a little bit when I said you're not shy. I relate to you a lot. I think I relate. Yes, I'm a last born child. My twin brother and I are the last ones. But, you know, I know the feeling of everybody thinking you can speak up. Everybody thinking, loyal, like can stand up for herself, she'll fight for herself. Because being talkative does not necessarily mean you can actually verbalize yourself.
When that's true.
It's very easy. Here's the funny and the irony. You'll catch this. It's easy to defend everybody around you but yourself.
Exactly.
it's guys, just to give you context, she's a lawyer. Not only just a lawyer, but she fights for human rights, basically employment. She's in the labor space. And oftentimes, you know, there are people that need to be spoken for in that space. And she does that almost every day of her life. But when you have to speak for yourself and when you have to articulate and relay the journey that you've been through, it's not always easy to come and speak about it.
Not at all. It's probably the most difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
And there's a part in my book where I touch on that, where when I started in varsity, I struggled to fit in, to socialize, because I prejudged myself. I felt like I could not articulate myself to their level.
Yeah.
I
was there's that.
Yeah. I was not able to confidently speak within groups, you know?
Yeah.
Even in office spaces, when I started working, I struggled with small talk. Mm. I struggled with visibility or, you know, mingling with your seniors, making sure that they understand you, you talk to them. I was more of a wallflower than anything.
You just want, let's speak legal language and move on with our lives and nothing else.
I did your work. It's on your desk, sharp, you know. So that I struggled a lot with that. And the only way that when I was brave enough that I could tell my story was through a book.
All right. Now, tell us about Against All Odds, Thinkiwe. You wrote this book. When did you write it? And what is it that you wanted to bring to our attention? Because I understand it's all this, also the story of your life. Maybe take us through that story. We've got you. We're here to listen to you.
Oh, thank you. No pressure at all. But Against All Odds, it's been a book that always existed.
Okay.
Like I said, I journal a lot.
Mm.
So I write about every experience that I go through. So it's always been handwritten manuscript.
Oh.
I just had the courage. I had to gather the courage to type
it
out.
Put everything
and,
together.
You know, make it make sense or tell the story that I want it to tell or would like to tell.
Mm.
So it has always been there, but I started putting it together last year. And the reason I did that last year was because I went through a very difficult or challenging period in my life. And I felt like, you know, at this moment, I needed someone to tell me that I will make it out of the situation. I needed a story that I could relate to, you know, an honest story about how you pursue a dream, how you build in the midst of uncertainty, how the challenges of life sometimes might make you doubt yourself and your capabilities, how to deal. My book doesn't give you a formula on how to deal with financial pressures, but it tells you the realities of someone dealing with financial pressures while they are trying to build their career or trying to make it within the profession.
Sure.
Like I said, first generation. So being a first generation, first born daughter, a lot of...
And I see there's huge age gaps between you and the siblings as well. So you literally become like umama to them as well.
Exactly. But also, if you're the first one in your family to get a formal education and a job, there's that unspoken expectation
that
you will take care of the ones that, you know, are at home.
And I think, look, to be fair, it's almost like that across all Black communities. It's a known
Definitely.
Thing. Nobody tells you, but you look back at home and you know, Wuti, these people are looking to me
that's
to go
true.
Back and change our circumstance.
That's true. And that's what I had to go through. So I needed someone to just tell me, you're going to make it through this, you know. You just have to keep pushing and keep moving. And I thought, let me write an honest piece about struggles, because it's struggles that we all go through quietly.
Yeah.
It's nothing that is peculiar to us, especially in the
True.
Black community. But we often don't talk about it. You know, we sell success. People look at the robes, the titles, and they think, ah, you've made it. You are there. But the
especially after that admission.
Exactly. You know, funny story is, after the admission, the only thing that my family knew was, I'm a lawyer now. That's all they knew. Whether you are still an associate, what level you are, what you are earning, you are a lawyer now.
Yeah, we so
expect
you really
big
have
things
mine.
Out of you, you know. But in a good way, though. They were very proud. So I wanted to tell that story. I wanted to not be afraid of my circumstances, because there's a part where I deal with how I was ashamed that I was struggling. Yet I've been a lawyer for more than 9 years.
Sure.
I was struggling financially. I couldn't put food on the table for my kids. Last year was probably the most challenging time in my life. I even struggled to, you know, make sure that my kids have the basics. I didn't know what they were going to eat.
Sure.
Municipality would come, switch off because you didn't pay your rates.
Yeah.
Those were some of the things that I had to go through. Debtors calling me. So I wanted to tell people that these are some of the struggles and the challenges that you will experience while you are building yourself, while you are a young professional trying to navigate whatever profession that you are going through. It's not something that you need to be ashamed of. And also to give hope that you can still push through those adversities that you encounter in life. Your path does not always become linear, you know.
True.
You're going to encounter so many challenges, and I wanted to bring a story that tells about those realities. So definitely I'm going to have a second one, because if you read this book, it's very heavy on emotions. I want to read a second one where I tell people about what happens aftermath of the arts.
Sure. But tell me, one of the things that stands out for me is you moving from a corporate space in the roughest times of your life during that era where all the odds were truly against you, and you still in that moment deciding, I'm still going to open this law firm. I mean, wasn't there a moment, Shelumi, okay, see, things are really, really bad. Like you're saying, you can hardly put food on the table. Wasn't there a moment where you started doubting that which the Lord had placed in your heart, that you had to open your own law firm? Didn't you look back and say, ish, I could always have a form of comfort somewhere? I know I heard you, Lord, but maybe you said not now.
There were so many of those moments. You know, sometimes when you look at your life, everything is saying no.
Yeah.
And the only thing you have is faith in God, that God, I'm going to trust your yes in the midst of the no's that I am seeing. I almost didn't open the firm.
Sure.
Because I had to weigh out the benefits of opening the firm now in my current situation without a financial net. With the current circumstances, I was my mom's caretaker or caregiver at home. How will I be able to run this firm? Where will I get the strength? Where will I get the funds to market the law firm? To register the firm? How will I move around if clients were to call? So those were the things I had to consider. And, you know, comfort is always better than taking chances and taking that risk. But my faith, again, the foundation that I had, and because of the adversities that I've had from the very beginning, I think I had grown strong in my faith and in me trusting God. And that the period that I went through actually reminded me of, I'm sorry to get into this, Abraham and Sarah's story.
No, go ahead.
He's 99 years old. And God comes and makes a promise to him that you will have a son this time next year. And you are thinking, I'm old.
Lord. Even this wife is too old. Make sense.
Are you mocking me right now? what kind of a beautiful joke is this? You know, everything around him and Sarah said, no, it was not possible. But he had to have faith in God, that God will live or will manifest his promise. I had to go back to my faith and trust that God will carry me through this. And he's been good. I don't want to lie. He's sent people that have helped me, held my hand through that difficult journey. So it's nothing other than my faith that actually forced me to start the law firm in the midst of everything that was happening.
Now, tell me, for somebody like we said, who right now is wondering, should I jump out? Should I not? What would you say?
I will say, you know, there's power in believing in your purpose.
Mm.
Once you start doubting your purpose, you will find every reason not to do it.
True.
You know?
True.
There will be so many things that say, you can't do it. It's impossible.
Yep.
And also, if you think about it in life, I don't think I've had a time where I could say this was the perfect time to start the law firm.
Mm.
So there probably will never be a perfect time to start or to do whatever it is that you want to do.
Mm.
You just have to start where you are with what you have.
Mm.
Small steps, scale bit by bit, and eventually you will see the product that you envisage to see or that you are working towards. So for someone who's finding themselves in that space, I've been in that space. I probably am still going to be in that space.
Yeah.
But just understand your purpose and believe in it more than anything else that's telling you not to believe in your purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you must be able to silence the noise that's telling you that it's impossible and focus on what you want to do. You don't have to do extravagant big things in the beginning. Just start bit by bit. Bit by bit, you know, do what you can where you can, but keep moving towards the goal or towards the purpose that you want in your life.
Don't lose sight of that dream.
Never.
Sure.
Never.
There are two striking things that you actually make mention of in your book, chapter 10 and chapter 11. Let's go to it quickly.
Okay.
I really want you to to touch on these. You talk about the cost of being the strong one. You know, I without taking words away from your mouth, there's nothing as painful as being known to be the one who's strong, because in your weakest point, you really hope and wish everybody could recognize your weakness. But in that moment, you always have to hold everybody up. What do you mean when you talk about the cost of being strong? What's the cost of being the strong one?
Shoo. Being the strong one. I am and was the go-to person for everyone.
Yeah, the answer is for everything.
Yes. You're struggling, go to her. Yeah, these people are fighting, go to her. You know, we don't have such and such, go to her.
Yeah.
We are going through this, go to her. And I would be that person who showed up, who made sure I kept my promises, who would deliver, who supported.
Yeah.
But in the background, I was struggling with my own situations or difficulties that I was faced with. But I could not say, I can't help you, you know, because I have my own issues that I'm dealing with. I still need to figure that out. So the cost of being a strong one means being there for everyone.
Even when you can't be there for yourself.
Even when you can't be there for yourself.
Sure.
And being there for everyone means that there's a time where people forget that you also need help.
Exactly.
There's a time where people just know you become the default, you know, run-to person. Mm. But people sometimes forget to check in on you. They forget to ask, are you okay? Mm. Are you managing? How are you surviving?
Yeah.
Because you've always been strong.
True.
And you've carried everything. And some people say, you carry it so well, we don't see it. You know,
I can relate to that. I can relate. I'm taken back to a time where things were really rough in my life. I was living in East London, had newborns, infants actually. I think I left Pretoria when they were 6 months to go home to the Eastern Cape. And I was going through the worst of things. The one person who was able to recognize the day I arrived at home was my twin brother's wife. A day later after I arrived, it was a payday, and she quickly sent me money and she said, I need you to find somebody who's going to do your hair. I need you to have braids, something that's going to last a bit long, because I might not be able to focus on you but on your kids. So I need a hairstyle that's going to last you longer, because I don't want people to see that you're going through the worst. Don't want you to see your problems in your face. That's what my sister-in-law said to me. And that's exactly what I did. I got somebody to do braids on me, and I kid you not, for the next 6 months while at home, I never had to worry about anything. Yes, I would try and make sure they've got milk and whatnot, but there were days she'd walk in from the gym with clothes that I didn't even ask for. She'd walk in from the gym with nappies. You know, because she had told herself she'll do. That's the one person I feel recognized how hard things were. Yeah. But the funny thing is everybody kept mentioning, no, it's weird to watch you in this position. Exactly. Because we know you always have the right answers.
Exactly.
We know you're always the backbone. But I'm not going to lie. At that lowest point, my siblings truly came through for me. All of them, Foot. Sure.
It's so beautiful when you say someone actually gave you money to take care of yourself. Because when you are strong, people, they just expect you to go through certain things and come out okay.
Yeah. And they'll say, I know you. You're going to get through this.
Yeah, you'll get through it. You know, people don't even check up on you because, all right.
True.
You always have problems, but you overcome them. Mm. And it's a cost because you also get to a point where you are not able to speak when you're struggling. You hold it inside.
True.
You want to carry everything on your own.
Sure.
You want to also create an impression. You get to a point where you create an impression that you are okay.
When
you are not. And you never sit down to just check on yourself to understand where you are emotionally. Are you okay? Mm. You just function like you're on autopilot.
Yep.
Do this. You're just functioning the whole time. And I found myself in that space in my life where I was taking care of everyone but not myself.
Sure.
Where I would show up for everyone and not myself. I would drop my whole life for other people because I thought that was love or that was giving. You know, that's the word of God. That's what we've been taught. And I forgot that I also needed support.
Sure.
I also needed people who could check in on me. Mm. I also needed to just relax and not be able to carry or be required, expected to carry all these things that I have to carry.
Sure. Last one. The myth of arrival. I think you kind of touched on that one early on when people are like, oh, she's a lawyer.
Yes.
You know, she's a lawyer. What is that pressure of everybody thinking that you've arrived? What is that myth of arrival? And also, when did it hit you the most?
Sure. Let me just say the myth of arrival started after my admission or it became more evident after my admission as an attorney. Well, I had my own expectations, right? There's a part where I'm supposed to feel that I'm now an attorney. I've arrived, you know, where
Didn't that part arrive?
I'm still waiting for it.
Okay.
I'm here, you know. I'm supposed to feel it in my bank account. I'm supposed to see it. I am supposed to speak, behave like an attorney. I thought certain things would change by virtue of me getting admitted as an attorney. Opportunities would open up. You know, the world knows I'm an admitted attorney. I've sent it to everyone. The whole world has seen. My family knows that I got admitted as an attorney. So the expectations now change because we lawyer, you
of
know,
course.
You are the family lawyer.
You always have the answers.
You know, you are the community lawyer. But yeah, I realized that there's still a long road ahead of me.
Yeah.
Just because I got the degree, got the admission, doesn't really mean that I've arrived. And there were also quiet battles. People normally call it imposter syndrome.
Yes, yes.
Where I felt like I did not fit in or I did not belong. Like I said, I was a wallflower. I was not able to feel like I am a lawyer. You know? I didn't present myself as if I was a lawyer. I would keep quiet in spaces where I knew I was right. I knew how to solve a problem, but I would rather keep quiet because I don't feel like it's my space. I don't feel like I belong here, or I don't feel like I'm competent enough to do this. So I realize there's actually a long road that I still have to walk. I still need to be able to trust myself, trust my creator, trust the skills that he has put in me, and be able to represent that in the rooms that I would go into and not shrink under the table whenever people are asking me for a view or an opinion.
Of course.
I had to walk with command and be confident that I am made for this. So I thought if I get admitted, I would automatically start behaving in a certain way, living a certain
and attain
life.
That respect immediately as
and
well.
And it didn't. Mm. And it didn't. Also, in that chapter, I also talk about the perceptions that the world has when you now are a professional. Mm. You know, they see the cars.
Yeah.
They see you live in Pretoria. You used to live in Davidson. So, you probably live in a mansion. Can't you know? That's not the reality. Mm. I was actually in sort of the early stages of growing into being an attorney and finding myself. So, yeah, we just feel like there's a point where we'll feel that we've arrived. We'll see that we've arrived.
Yeah.
And the world expects to see it too, but that's not the reality.
Sure. Pretty interesting. If anything, because we are running out of time, Shengiwe, but if anything you would love for anybody, not just upcoming lawyers, you know, anybody that is, you know, trying to find their feet right now. And like you're saying, they want to balance also the career, but things are not just coming together. And they, like we said, they're even wondering if this is going to come to pass. What would your last words be? And also to somebody who's going to get their hands on this book, what is the one thing that you feel they need to know?
Shoo. I would say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your understanding. Because sometimes when we see uncertainties or we find ourselves in uncertainties, we start doubting everything.
Just like Abraham and Sarah.
Exactly. Mm. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm. And whatever you are struggling with, you must understand that there's nothing great that your Lord cannot come through or help you with.
Yeah.
But also, listen to the Lord. Mm. Understand where He is guiding you. Because sometimes we want to force things to happen, you know. Take things one step at a time, but do not stop moving forward.
Sure.
Those small steps that you are taking towards whatever goal or whatever purpose you want to reach, eventually they're going to be this big manifestation of your dreams. But you just need to keep moving, because the mistake that we make is just wanting to give up everything.
True.
We don't gain anything by giving up. Mm. But the more you push forward, God moves with you.
Come on.
And He also paves the way for you. Mm. You may not see where you are headed because there's so much that's happening in your life.
Yeah.
And you just feel like life is a riddle or it's just you are engulfed by challenges. Mm. But keep moving forward with the little strength that you have and ask God to give you strength to keep moving and clarity to move towards your purpose or your destination. But don't stop moving.
Sure.
Hambangala manjo now.
Thank you. Any socials where we can follow you? And also lastly, like really lastly, where do we get your book?
The book is available. You can order directly from me. You can contact me on 076-797-3941 for paperback. Also, if you are tech savvy and you want an ebook, it's already on Amazon Kindle.
Okay.
So Against All Odds by Hlengiwe Mahlangu, you can get the ebook there. On social platforms, I'm going to spell it out.
Yes, please.
Because people struggle with
please.
It. So it's Hlelutando M on Instagram. It's Hlelutandom on Instagram. And then on Facebook, it's Hlelutando without the M, Hlengiwe Mahlangu.
Oh, is Hlelutando your first name?
So my name is Hlengiwe. My son's name is Lutando. So I took the HLE from my name and combined it with
Hlelutando.
Yes, Hlelutando.
Okay. Doesn't daughter get offended?
she wasn't here when it happened.
thank you so much, my sweetheart. Remember now, these doors are always open. Another release, we're here. Always here to support
you
and always
much.
Here to spread the word. Thank you so much and God bless.
Thank you very much for the invite.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rate supply.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882 and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.